We'll call to order the House Elections and Rules Committee. Colleagues, both the bills that we will be hearing today and possibly moving forward on a work session are members' bills. Neither, I almost spoke too soon, one of which is here. So we will go forward with Representative Lim's bill to start with. I believe that's House Bill 2504. I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2504 at this time. Calling forward Representative Lim, please.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for hearing the House Bill 2504. Excuse me. For the record, my name is John Lane, a representative from District 50, which is Gresham area, and I'm very happy with the Chair Kitts and the members of the committee to testify on this important bill, House Bill 2504. House Bill 2504 came about when I was campaigning to the State Senate for three times, and the state representative last year. It has been draining, and it took me almost 1 year to get elected, beginning in November, and then for the primary election in May, and after that I gotta continue on campaigning for the November election again. It is really draining and time consuming, and also financially this is a lot of training going on. Because of that, I thought if we move our primary dates same like Washington State, we might be able to save a lot of time. At the same time, since our neighbor doing it September, we might be able to do the same thing. So this House Bill 2504 changes the date of primary election from third Tuesday in May to third Tuesday in September in even-numbered year. Yesterday, I was able to talk to the Secretary of Washington State, and then they believe September is too close to November to if they want to have a mail election like we do. And I think I agree. September might be too late to have an effective November election. So I'm also considering the change instead of September to August. The House Bill 2504 also directs the Secretary of State to print single September voters pamphlet. Already some other states doing just a single voters pamphlet. We are doing it May, and we are doing it November again. This is very costly. So if we combine it, primary and November general election, if we do, hopefully September and August, we might be able to do it, saving a lot of tax dollars. Also, this bill substantially decreases public election cost by having single September voters pamphlet, and also shared responsibility between election, including candidate information, getting out vote material, lawn signs, things like that. This bill also would increase voters' turnout. And after November primary election, there's about 5 months lag time. People begin to forget. And so if we have primary election sometime in August and September, there's a continuation on campaigning. There might be a chance of people's participation in the November election again. We have a problem when we try to pass a certain bond measure, certain taxes, and locally, chances are it's not going to pass because of the double majority. By doing together that the closer to the November election, there might be a chance more voters turn out. Also, this bill would put us in line with the majority of the other state primary election date. There are only 18 states doing the primary month of May, and then 16 other states doing in primary in September, and then a 9th state in August. So why do we have to have a lonely in middle of nowhere in May primary, which is doesn't connect directly in November election? So to me it's a logically and feasible if we move to September or August, that might be a better approach. I don't want to spend more than a whole 1 year just campaigning to get elected to the state representative. If we get it closer together to November election, we might be able to save a lot of time, a lot of money, not only in terms of campaign, but also state finance. So that is my basic the presentation on this House Bill 2504. I am open to any questions.
Representative Lim, thank you very much for coming forward. I think you make a lot of points, and the loneliness of the primary is probably one of the most compelling. I've never thought of that, but I have now. Are there any questions to Representative Lim? Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lim, so in the presidential primary years, we would have the presidential primary in May, this election in August or September, whenever, and then the November election. So we would have three elections in the presidential years. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I was considering moving all the presidential election and also our state primary election at the same time. But what I have found out, Washington State, they have also the primary presidential election is different date. And they don't have a set date. The leadership of the government and legislators, they come together, set the presidential primary date. And so this is strictly talking about the state primary date, different from the presidential.
Representative, why would you not just change the primary date if that were the ultimate goal of this bill? Why would you not just change the primary date for all elections in the even number of years to be September, similar to as it is now for May?
That also means a loneliness. That means I like to coincide our primary date with Washington State. Chances are when we are getting together almost the same date or close to the primary date together, chances are we might be able to attract a national presidential candidate to our state in Northwest area. If we do our own primary date different from the neighboring state, we might not have enough attention to bring that the presidential candidate to our state. So I'm open to that. If we put it together, do it the same day, presidential and statewide primary election, that will save some time. But the only reason I divide it up at this point to make our primary date about the same time with the Washington State.
Representative, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, so I don't mean to put you on the spot.
That's all right.
Do you know when California's primary?
I think it's in March. As I understand, it's correct. Yes.
Okay.
But the California state, Mr. Chair, California state is a large enough population. They can go wherever they want to be. But ours is about little more than 1% of the national total population. We don't have that strong political and power in number-wise. If we do it together with the Washington state, we might have a better chance to attract the major candidates.
Representative Green, thank you.
Yes. Good afternoon, Representative Lim. Thank you for coming. I'd like to look at this from the perspective of a candidate as well as you. I had a different experience because when I was running, I wasn't running with name recognition as a past senator. You know, I decided to get into politics and started very new. And in my first campaign, I ran a 21-month campaign. But one of the important things is the difference between when the primary happened, and this is particularly true in the second campaign, when the primary happened and when the general happened, is during the primary, you need to be focusing your activity and your meetings and your talking and your door knocking on the candidates of the party that's electing you in the primary. And then, if you're not a well-known candidate, you need to spend a lot of time getting well-known, knocking on doors, having meetings, meeting with people. And it seems to me for a candidate that's not well-known, and we want to encourage lots of people to join the political process, a non-incumbent has a terrific disadvantage trying to win a campaign, to mount a campaign, particularly a person-to-person campaign, between a September primary and a first week in November general. It seems to me, and perhaps you could comment on it, I mean, it seems to me having that period from May 25th or around there until a November election gives a non-incumbent a fair chance of getting known in a district.
Thank you, Deputy Chair Cates and Representative Greenleaks. I think your point is well taken, and it depends on how you look at it. And maybe it might be advantage for the first-time runner, because incumbents, they have chances they are going to more relaxed during the early time and begin late, while the newcomers, they might campaign 1 year or 2 years ahead of time if they want to. This bill does not restrict them at all. Time of beginning of a campaign, they can start any time. Only in the same level playing field, this might be able to less training for the human being, less training for the campaign. So that is my thought.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Farr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lim, I apologize if I missed this because I was a little late, but I heard you talking about other states that had passed similar legislation. Is that what you said? There are, I'm looking here, 11 states considered eliminating their presidential primaries, but so far, and then you've listed Colorado, Kansas, Maine, Michigan, North Dakota, and Washington, and then 15 states are considering changing the date. But just 6 states have passed bills so far. Are there any states that have elected to have the primary so late?
And Bobby Lee here.
Oh,
yes. Can you expand a little bit on this issue?
Yeah.
Yes. Can I bring him?
Please.
He's my staff.
Please state your name for the record.
He's a very able staff for me.
Representative Kitts, members of the committee, my name is Bill Rogers. I'm Deputy Chief of Staff for Representative Lim. There are states that do have currently, they're trying to set them back from September to, a number of them have back to June, August, and May. The last one that I saw was in Minnesota. An initiative had been put in, and it died in the Senate. It was not passed. I have seen other states that are trying, but so far they're running into a lot of oppositions to leave their elections on the certain date that they have right now, which is most of them are in September.
So would the answer be there are 0 states that have elected to change their primary to September?
At this general point, yes.
Okay. Could you tell me, or do you know how many I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I guess I can ask a follow-up because, Madam Vice Chair, thank you. can you tell me how many states have an August primary?
As I stated earlier, Mr. Chair.
I apologize if I missed that, Representative Lim.
There are 16 states primary in September and 9 in the month of August.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Holley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Lim, for bringing this forward. I share your frustration with the long campaign season. It is quite arduous. But I do have some concerns with crunching this time together between the primary and the general election in November. If we were to move to September, I've talked to some folks in Washington as well who seem to think they have a problem having it so close together and just the mechanics of getting voter pamphlets out and, if there were, for one thing, are you going to have two different voter pamphlets that close to each other? And
probably just one's one.
And how will ballot measures be able to have time to get their statements in with the opposing and the in favor of statements into the voter pamphlet?
Chair Kitts and Representative Harvey, and the question you raised is a very important question, and because of the reason, and I have consulted with Washington State and the Secretary of State, and he suggested they are planning to move from September to August because they are moving into their mail ballot like we are. If it's not the mail ballot, September might be okay, but if it's going to be a 100% mail ballot, then I think it is advisable that we do that August. I believe September is too close, and if we move with the Washington State together, August primary, that might be more advisable. So if this bill is going to go ahead, I want to have the amendment moving into the August, like Washington State, if they do so.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Colleagues, if there are no further questions of Representative Lim, I'm going to close this public hearing at this point in time. I will reopen it after we open the public hearing on 3043. So Representative Boquist has got to go to committee, so to indulge that request. So at this time, I'll close House Bill 2504. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Open a public hearing on House Bill 3043. Call forward Representative Boquist. And to those that are in the audience wishing to testify on 2504, I apologize for the delay. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I am representing Brian Boquist. I represent the 23rd House District, which is basically the Western Willamette Valley. I appreciate the Chair giving me this opportunity to basically cut in. We're in Revenue Committee, as many of you know, and being a farmer, sometimes if I miss any testimony at all, I'm a little bit behind in trying to figure out how to catch up. I come before you on House Bill 3043 today. This is not an idea that I brought to the legislature. In fact, Susie Ledlow, who was an intern here, both for myself and Representative Jerry Carmel, and in fact, I believe lives in Representative Chuck Riley's district down in Washington County, came up with some issues as part of a college project that she's intending. What she came up with was looking at was the Oregon Initiative process and the fact that when a chief petitioner dies, even though you might have collected 25, 30, 40, 60, 70,000 signatures, that chief petitioner, when he dies, the initiative dies with him. And her correction to that, to the initiative process, was to come forth with a bill that we helped her send down to legislative council as a citizen. And it would make that any three, you could have three chief petitioners on on a petition, and that should one of them die, that one of the other two petitioners could carry forward the petition. And of course, if you go way back when, whether you agree or disagree with the initiative process, it's a fact of life in here in Oregon, and it's part of our Republican and Democratic process here in the state. And what she was concerned in, I remain concerned in, and other members remain concerned in, is when the citizens go forth with the initiative process, should the chief petitioner die or something along that line, that the initiative be carried forward. I would also ask of the committee, there is an amendment pending in some of the verbology of the present bill, and that's still coming out of Legislative Council. So while I appreciate the opportunity to testify and we'd be happy to answer questions, I would ask the chair to hold off a decision on this until the amendment has come forth. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd be happy to answer any brief questions.
Representative Boquist, have you seen the amendments?
No, I have not at this time.
Okay. We have received them here at the committee. They're dated today, so that was very quick turnaround. Committee, we won't be moving this bill today. We'll let Representative Boquist look over his amendments, make sure that he's satisfied with what they do, and we'll be bringing this back at a later time. Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The initiative and election petition process is one that I'm very interested in. In fact, I have a bill that would require for initiatives persons to give a card of some sort describing the initiative to the person who signs the petition, and I wondered if you would be possibly willing or interested in, maybe we could join these bills since they're both relating to election petitions.
Mr. Chair, Representative Marsh, I don't particularly have any adverse reaction to that. I think we'd sit down and be happy to work with you if the chair would allow time and set an appointment and visit with you on that issue.
Thank you.
Any further questions of Representative Boquist? If not, we'll let him get back to committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. My office will be in touch with your office about the amendments in the work group.
I apologize. My staff wasn't as efficient.
I know your staff. And I understand. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3043 at this time, seeing no other folks wishing to testify.
Mr. Chair, there's nobody else wishing to testify.
Well, Representative Dalto, if it's indicative of whether it's not somebody signed up the sign-up sheet to testify, I'm going to go by that, and that's all I have to go by.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my point was we weren't going to hear from elections authorities or anything like that.
The election authorities have not signed up, so
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Maybe at this time they don't have. Now, whether or not one person of the 3.6 million people in the state of Oregon wish to testify on this, not today. So we'll move on. Closing the public hearing on House Bill 3043. We will reopen a public hearing on House Bill 2504, and there are some authorities wishing to testify on this bill. John Limbeck. Mr. Authority.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. I'm John Limbeck, Director of Elections in the Secretary of State's office, and I wanted to introduce to you Brenda Bays, since we haven't had the opportunity to meet her so far. She's my manager in charge of the elections operations, or the conduct of elections side of the office, and the initiative process.
Oh, some of us have met her.
Yeah, and so I brought her up here, actually, because she's really good at pointing out statutes and rules, and I figured that this conversation could be rather detailed, and I may need her assistance in helping me find things and answers to some of your questions. So I asked if she'd come forward with me today. In regards to House Bill 24, the Elections Division today must testify in opposition to this legislation as currently drafted because of some serious conflicts it presents with running smooth and efficient elections in Oregon. We've handed out a packet of information entitled Obstacles to a September Primary, and I won't go through it in great detail right now, but as you look through it, you'll see the array of issues that a proposal like this presents and that would need to be resolved before we go forward with moving the date of an election. I'll just try and cover some of the highlights here and go into minute detail only if you want me to pursue them. Frankly, I could sit here all day and talk about this one, but I don't think you'd be very happy with me if I did. So, First of all, the point I want to make is that the Florida 2000 experience taught us all a lesson, which is that elections that look chaotic probably are chaotic and that you want to avoid that situation. I'm sure it was not intentional by the sponsor, but this legislation, as proposed, creates a chaotic situation because the primary and general elections are just simply too close together. Many of you probably already know that Washington has a late September primary, and the sponsor addressed that in his testimony. Elections officials and elected officials there have recognized the serious problems that this has created for them through the years and have been debating proposals for moving their September primary back so that the situation becomes more workable for them. But I wanted to give you some examples of the chaos that could be created when your primary and general election are too close together, whether it's August or September or whatever, if they're just simply too close together. You run the risk of disenfranchisement of military and overseas voters first. Federal law requires us to send ballots for any election to military and overseas voters 45 days before an election. And there are a few others, the so-called submarine ballots, for those military folks that are in very remote locations that are required to go out 60 days before an election. Under this proposal, the deadline for sending ballots to those voters occurs before the primary election is even held. And those would be the ballots for the general election, and so that would be obviously a problem. Presumably, we'd have to delay sending ballots to those voters, which would risk their disenfranchisement because they'd have a more compressed time in which to return them, and as we all know, ballots in Oregon must be returned to the county by 8 p.m. on election night. So that's one issue in the course of this discussion about when to hold your primary to keep in mind is the enfranchisement of your military and overseas voters. You don't want to mess with that. Close races also create a mess when a primary and general election are too close together. Under Oregon law, certification of our elections is 30 days after Election Day. Recounts are conducted after certification. So let me present you a scenario in which you're in a close primary race. All of you. Picture yourself in a close primary race in a late September election, and your recount wouldn't be held until late October, well after the ballot printing deadlines, and it makes it impossible to put together a meaningful campaign for voters once
Madam
the
Chair,
race is
I'd like to put on the record that I don't really want to envision myself that way.
The only way to address the recount situation is by moving up the recount and when it would be held. Unfortunately, they'd be held before the counties are done counting votes. And another lesson from Florida is you don't conduct a recount until your first count is done. And think back to that mess that we had there in 2000 where they were starting these recounts before they were really done counting all their votes. It was confusing to people. It looked chaotic, and it was chaotic. So it's very important when you consider the timing of your elections to keep things in a rational order that's easy for people to follow, that it allows proper time for recounts, allows proper time for counting all the ballots, allows proper time for keeping all your military and overseas voters fully enfranchised. This proposal also creates a variety of administrative issues that would drive up costs and produce a recipe for errors in the process. For example, county election officials would be trying to verify state initiative signatures in a very contested and often hostile atmosphere. I don't know if you've followed it in the past couple of cycles or not, but we've actually had people, observers in the counties, observing people as they verify signatures on initiative petitions, and there's been a lot of contentiousness surrounding that process. They'd be doing this at the same time as they're trying to print primary ballots and mailing out absentee primary ballots. That would not be a good situation for the counties, and I'm sure you'll probably hear some of that kind of comment from Annette Newingham when she gets a chance to testify. Finally, a word about the voters pamphlet. Frankly, this one voters pamphlet idea would create a less useful document for the voters in that after the primary is over, they would be expected to wade through material that is no longer relevant to that election in order to find information that is relevant to the general election. There is an adequate time built into this legislation for Oregonians to file statements in support or opposition to ballot measures. The voters pamphlet has to be edited, printed, and mailed 8 days before the measures are certified to the ballot under this proposal. So the timing of it just doesn't work. There are a lot of timing issues that would have to be worked out. And this issue of the timing with our initiative process is an important one, because by constitution, my division is given 30 days to oversee the verification process and process the petitions, get them out to the counties, get them back. And that all occurs during July. And if you create too many things happening in July and you have to print a voter's pamphlet in time to get it out for a September primary, it just creates a mess in the whole cycle of things. We'd have to I can't figure out a way in which we could do all that without adding staff, frankly. And I don't think anyone would want to create that situation. So I'm going to wrap it up here. And as you can tell, moving the primary to September is a proposal that creates an array of complications. So we urge the committee to solve these problems before moving any bill like this forward.
Thank you, John. Are there any questions of the good director of elections?
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
And I'm sure that he has an answer.
Thank you. John, how do other states that have August primaries, and let me go back because I think Representative Lim said there are 9 states that currently have August primaries. How do they meet the time requirements for military and overseas?
They gamble. In my prior life, I had oversight of elections in a state that had an August primary, and they do a lot of gambling, particularly in cases where there are close races, those ones that I pointed out to you. They send out ballots that have what they know on it, and then if the circumstances change, they have to send out a new ballot. It creates cost and it creates confusion for the voters. It's not a good situation.
I've got a follow-up to that. Is the state you're speaking of Alaska?
Yes.
You were there for some time. Over the course of, I think, 23 years,
mm-hmm.
if memory serves correctly, that you were there, was this a frequent occurrence?
Close primary races up there were very frequent.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's just a creature of a small state with smaller districts or whatever, but it was a problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Representative Mark?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John, you say under the Constitution you have 30 days to certify an election. So walk me through, for example, in the year 2000, the primary election for statewide officer, the treasurer, was within the margin of automatic recount.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the time frame? Is that what's laid out here in your document? So the election would be held on the 19th of September. The certification would occur with recount by September 28th?
No, recounts are held after certification in Oregon.
So at what?
And then you simply finish it as fast as you can.
Okay, so the certification on the 28th of September say it triggered an automatic recount in the primary election, then everybody just goes as fast as they can to do that. And as I recall, it's a hand recount?
Yes, our state law requires any recount to be done by hand.
So in a larger county...
Follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In a larger county like Lane or Multnomah or Washington or Clackamas, what would be, say, a rough estimate of time that would take?
Well, you know, I think our clerks here would probably be better suited to answer that question. They were actually... I was not here for that particular recount, which is the last statewide recount we had. It depends on how complicated it is. They don't have to take a ton of time if you do things in a very methodical manner, the recounts. But, you know, my guess is it would probably take, it's safe to assume, at least a week in order to complete all that, particularly in a statewide race. But Annette or John Kaufman from Multnomah County could confirm that.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Limbeck. Appreciate you being here today. At this time, we'll call forward Annette Newingham.
the Association of County Clerks. And then I've got to tell you that my goal as chairman of this committee is to find at least one bill this session that you guys support.
That we don't show up.
More money.
Representative Kitts, members of the committee. I'm Annette Newingham, and I'm representing the Association of County Clerks. I'm from Lane County. And John Kaufman, he's here in case you have any technical questions also that might pertain to the Multnomah. In reviewing House Bill 2504, we have several important considerations that we urge you to consider in evaluating whether we should have a September primary. The period of time between the primary and the general election is very critical to the tasks that we do, and that's as John Lindbeck had explained. There are several portions of the bill in particular that we have concerns about. Section 38 of the bill reduces, again, as it deals with the date of the military in the out-of-country, reducing it from the 45th day to the 40th day to mail ballots. And I really want to point out that we election officials had many questions about being sure to have adequate time for the military to receive their ballots and to vote it. And that was at the last general election with the 45 days. There was a great deal of concern about that. Sections 46 through 48 reduces the date of the Secretary of State, city, and county officials to file their offices and candidates by the 40th day, which is the same day that we're required to mail the ballots in this bill to the military, which there seems to be some question what we would send to them, because obviously we wouldn't have a ballot prepared. Section 67 reduces the date an elector may want to file a contest of election. The Section 67 deals with the contest of election, and Section 71 deals with the recount. And it's the same issues that John Lindbeck brought up, that we certainly would have concerns that we were, one, on a recount, doing a full recount of ballots prior to even counting all the real ballots. That would really be an issue. We are still processing ballots to be counted for provisional ballots, for signature issues, which we have 10 days to resolve, so those dates would be in conflict. The very fact that we would also be doing this while we're trying to reconcile and count our ballots poses an additional risk that our accuracy would not be fully focused on what we should be doing. I'm trying to brush through this because I know it's much the same issues that John Lindbeck brought up, but compressing these dates would certainly create complex overlapping tasks that need to be conducted simultaneously, such as ballot type setting, layout, voter registration, ballot processing, as well as some tasks that we historically do after we certify would be pushed prior to certification, increasing the staffing requirements and the need for new and temporary staff, which then you increase your risk again because you don't have quite the expertise to process things. I have attached, I mentioned that Washington State is currently does have a September primary. It's been brought up several times. They have legislation pending to change the date to earlier in the year. And I have attached the next couple pages is really a King County report that there's a very in-depth report. It's about 24 pages long, and I provided the website to you. But this is a summary of the key issues of why they want to change their primary election. And many of those are those that we have concerns about and are raising to this committee today. We may not agree with all the issues because their legislation is tailored a little bit different than ours in the first place. So it doesn't necessarily constitute that we agree with everything that they're doing. But we do our election somewhat differently than Washington State, although they are seeming to go to vote by mail also. I really urge your consideration of these issues and ask us questions that you might have. John Kaufman also wanted to mention that the state, their county voters pamphlet probably would not be conducted for the general election because the timing would not allow us to know what candidates we would have in order to produce one and get it mailed out in time. And if you have further questions, I encourage you to ask John.
Thank you. And I think that it's really difficult to compare our state with any other state. With the simple fact, we're the only state that has an entirely a mail-in ballot process. So I think that any changing or altering of the existing dates would require, you know, a thoughtful process based on the situations that are currently involved and the requirements that are currently involved of people like yourself. I don't think it's a bad discussion to have. I think that you can, the arguments that have been raised on both sides from the cost of the election for the members is different from the cost for you folks to implement. For example, if I'm running a race and my primary is in September, as a hypothetical, well, it's probably going to be a little bit less money for me to run a general just 6 weeks out, as opposed to somebody that runs a primary in May. You go through the summer, and then basically you're in a whole different election for a general election because people have forgotten who you are by that point, building your name ID. So, but on the flip side, I understand the compressed time on your folks end incurs a cost as well. So I think the arguments to be made on both sides are, I mean, it's interesting, but I think that it's tough to compare any other state as a model for, well, we should do it like, you know, these other states, because we're such an anomaly with the way that we do elections here in our state. So I think those are things to be thoughtful of. Are there any other questions of these folks? Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kaufman, you're in Multnomah County now, but you've also worked in, you were the clerk of Clackamas County, so you've got experience in a couple of counties. Most counties currently have their local elections in May, and I don't know as if this change here would require a change in the local elections, or whether under current charters, for example, Multnomah County has a home rule charter, would their primary then be in May? So we might have a presidential primary in May with local elections in some years, and then a September primary, and then the general. Is that a possibility you see here?
Mr. Chair, Representative March, I believe that Multnomah County's charter ties to statute, and this bill would propose to change the date of the primary. So Multnomah County, City of Portland, would have their primary in conjunction with the September primary if this legislation were approved. I believe that the measure we're looking at, House Bill 2504, would simply have a presidential preference primary in May. That would be the only thing on that ballot.
Right. Representative Hogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nick, I know you mentioned some costs involved in doing this, and I noticed that, you know, there may be a fiscal impact to the state, but can you give me a little more to go on about what kind of costs you think this bill would cause to the counties?
Chair Kitts, members of the committee, one of the factors would definitely be that we would have a presidential primary, which would be an additional election that we already have on an even numbered year during a presidential election. It's about $1 million statewide to conduct a primary election. So that cost right off the bat would be an additional cost. Whether that was covered by the state or whether that's covered by the counties, it's still a cost to the taxpayers, and that would have to be sorted out. As to the actual even if you get past some of the conflicts of dates and you just said, okay, if we have enough space and we have enough people to pour it into this to make this happen, you would just have to condense your activities during that period of time, and maybe you'd have to buy a new building to accommodate more because you have more things you have to do, or you have to outsource to do a voter's plan. You can always put money towards something. Whether your quality is compromised, that'd be another factor, but just on a cost basis, and it's very difficult to get at that cost right now until we would sort all this out.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, I've had presented to me here a document. I'm going to ask the committee administrator to make copies for everybody, dealing with savings for eliminating presidential primaries out of your folks' scope of practice. In certain states, it saves up to $7 million by eliminating the presidential primary. So I'm going to get a copy of this to everybody. Thank you so much, Annette, for being here. John, thank you
very much.
As well. At this time, I'll call our last person wishing to testify on House Bill 2504, Daryl Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, representatives. My name is Daryl Howard. I'm a Salem resident and testifying as a private individual, not as staff who lost the amendment there someplace. I've actually run about 26 campaigns in Washington State. I'm very familiar with their timeline. They file in July, so the summer's already half over. I've been involved in two very, very contentious primaries in Washington alone, and there's no time after the primary is over for on either side of the aisle for the party to heal, and which in a contentious primary, you've got to have people come together on all sides, and you have to have some ability to reach out and go either to the voters again or to the voters for the first time in a doorbelling ability. The second thing is that there's no ability. You mentioned earlier that Mr. Chairman, that it does compress the time, and so you have a little bit of name ID still out there. But in contentious primaries, it can be a good thing and a bad thing. And so there's no ability for candidates to, having spent all their money in a primary 42 days before a general election, to raise the money needed to be able to get their message out, especially amongst all the clutter that seems to happen on the ballot already with all the representatives and initiatives and various items. So I would just, from the political aspect of it, it's a very bad idea that I would be opposed to having run a number of campaigns up there already.
Thank you, Daryl. I concur with having been up there myself, as you know. There are definitely pros and cons, and I think that the public good needs to come first before the political good, and I think that you would agree with that. So.
Yeah.
Any questions of Daryl? Where are the amendments?
Right here. I have. Right here.
Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you testifying.
Thank you.
So, Representative March.
Mr. Chair, you know, I'm not convinced that this idea, although it would mean perhaps some time and money savings to us as candidates, is worth the cost to the public and to the electors who need to make some rational decisions. And perhaps some of us have benefited from the public and electors forgetting us in between the primary and November. We can resell ourselves in November.
Representative so, March, knowing some of my colleagues, I would agree with that. Any further people wishing to testify, welcome to the pages that are here today. Thank you for being in our committee and observing the process. Are there any other comments for the good of the committee? And again, committee, I would just like to extend thank you. I know I do at every committee that we're out and about. But thank you again for the committee's indulgence, which seems to be my favorite word these days, in traveling around the state, taking our committee on the road. It's a huge sacrifice on your guys' behalf and ladies' behalf, but I do appreciate it. So thank you very much. With that being said, Annette will pass out those things. Committee's adjourned.